And so during this series, we are walking through what is known as the seven I am statements of Jesus. It is truths and claims that Jesus has said about himself. There's seven different statements that he's listed about himself in the book of John. So for these weeks leading up to Easter and a few weeks after Easter, we're going to take a look at all seven statements each and every week, which statement he wants us to receive on a week in and week out basis. But what's so powerful about these statements is that these statements are not just truths, but they are statements that separate Jesus from everybody else. They are statements that put him above everything else and everybody else. And so because of that, in these I am statements, we have called this series, I'm Him. Somebody say, I'm Him. I'm Him. And so I'm excited to continue this series as we talk about how Jesus is Him. Jesus is that guy. Jesus is that God. Jesus is that one who is able to open blinded eyes. He's able to change lives. He's able to set people free. That's what this whole series is about. And I'm excited to dig into it. And so we're going to go to the book of John, chapter 6, verse 22. And we're going to read all the way down to verse 35. John, chapter 6, verse 22. And I'm just going to ask you just to stand for the reading of God's word just for a quick moment. And then we'll take our seats again. And for those of us online, I'm going to encourage you to turn to John, chapter 6. And big shout out to some of our young people, Isaiah and Christian. They were up here helping to bring this heavy podium up here, and they were doing it. I saw y'all struggling with it a little bit over there. But bless God for them, man. I love the fact that we got young people in our church. They got a heart to serve, and they love Jesus, and those are two phenomenal young men who love Jesus and who are leading and setting an example. Y'all bless God for them. Come on, make some noise for those guys right there. Amen. But here in John chapter 6, verse 22, here's what it says. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the other side of the sea saw there had been only one boat. And they also saw that Jesus had not boarded the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone off alone. And some boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. And when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you get here? And Jesus answered, truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Don't work for the food that perishes, but for the food that lasts for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you because God the Father has set his seal of approval on him. What can we do to perform the works of God, they asked. Jesus replied, this is the work of God, that you believe in the one he has sent. What sign then are you going to do so that we may see and believe you, they asked. What are you going to perform? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. Just as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, Moses didn't give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the one, everybody say the one, who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And then they said, sir, give us this bread always. Verse 35, I am the bread of life, Jesus told them. No one who comes to me will ever be hungry, and no one who believes in me will ever be thirsty again. Jesus says in verse 35, I am the bread of life. You know what he's saying? I'm him. I'm the bread of life. No one who comes to me will ever be hungry, and no one who believes in me will ever be thirsty again. I want to preach from this theme and thought as we continue this series, I'm him. I want to call this sermon, Follow the Breadcrumbs. Follow the breadcrumbs. Tell the person beside you, follow the breadcrumbs. All of the breadcrumbs. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. Thank you for your word. I pray even now as we hear your word that you will remove distractions, anything that would try to get in the way of us pursuing and seeing you as the way. God, would you remove it even now? We open up our hearts to receive your word. May it fall upon fertile hearts that it would yield a harvest of life change in our lives. We thank you and we love you in Jesus' name. And every person said, amen. Amen. Follow the bread crumbs. Bridge family, one of the greatest things, I believe, that God has blessed humanity with is bread. Where are my bread lovers in the building? Come on, online. If you love bread, find the bread emoji and put bread emoji in the chat. Where are my bread lovers at? Y'all love bread. Love bread. Matter of fact, I love bread so much that I said, you know what? What better way to show this example of bread than to get some bread? So we literally went to Panera this morning because I was like, I think this will be a good sermon illustration. So, darling, would you mind handing me that nice loaf of bread? Boys, y'all didn't bring the bread. Y'all forgot the bread. Nah, it wasn't your fault. I'm sorry. I'm messing with y'all. They looking at me like, Pastor, we didn't tell us. But nonetheless, you know, we were getting this bread, and I was like, man, we want to get this big old nice, big old loaf of bread. And because when I think about what Jesus is talking about here, I think of this good old French baguette. And y'all, let me tell you something. You want me to tell you something? Let me tell you something. When you get some soup on a day like today where it's a little chilly outside, or you get some chili and you break the bread and you dip that thing in that thing, you know what's good when you say that thing in that thing. You don't even call it the name. You take a corner of this and you dip it in that bowl of chicken and wild rice soup from Panera, or the turkey chili, or the broccoli and cheddar. Y'all know I go there all the time. I know about all these soups. Come on. Or you put in some chicken noodle soup. How many of y'all chicken noodle soup fans in here? Y'all know chicken noodle soup, right? Or you put it in one of your favorite hot dishes and you just dip that thing in there and you take a bite out of that and you say, my God from heaven. The Lord sent this down. His grace is on this bread. And when I think about bread and what Jesus is talking about, this is one of the things that comes to mind. Maybe for some of you, it's not the French baguette, but because I'm a bread lover, Ariel will tell you, I love bread. We love bread in our house. I figured that maybe I can help kind of salivate your taste buds and listing a few other bread options for you. One of my favorite bread options is the breadsticks from Olive Garden. Right, y'all got that? Oh my gosh, look at that. Jesus, my Lord. I felt that. I felt the Lord right there. And it's nothing like that when you get those breadsticks and you break them in half and you put them in some minestrone soup. Y'all don't know about, where my Olive Garden heads at? Y'all don't know about that minestrone soup, that vegetable soup, that endless soup. That's why we go there, because you can get as much soup as you want. Then sometimes they try to play you a little bit and then don't fill up the to-go bowl. Like, all the way to the top. Free refills on this, fam. For some of y'all, it's not Olive Garden. I get it. For some of y'all, it's this right here. It's this Red Lobster Cheddar Bay biscuits. Let the church say amen. Come on. Them Cheddar Bay biscuits. Some of y'all mouths are salivating right now. You're like, hey, we know where we're going. Soon as church get out. We pulling up at Red Lobster. And you get that basket of endless supply of Cheddar Bay biscuits. You know what's so interesting? I just thought about this. It's interesting because in both Olive Garden and Red Lobster, you can get as much bread as you want. It'll never run out. They just keep bringing the bread. Maybe I should have called this sermon that, bring the bread. Because no matter how much bread you have and have eaten, they'll come and restock it. Now, for some of y'all, it's not breadsticks. For some of y'all, it's not the Red Lobster Cheddar Bay biscuits. But for some of y'all, it's these good old Hawaiian rolls that you use at Thanksgiving. And look, some of y'all are going to the third heaven right now. I can see it on your faces. And it's those rolls right there. And they get all nice and lush and that smell just fills the house. And some of y'all going back right now, you can smell it right now. But what I love about that is that they that they're filling in many ways. And even when I think about this, which we are going to eat after service, I'm breaking bread by myself. Just gonna let y'all know. What's interesting about all those, you know, categories of bread and even this, you know, one thing that they all have in common, they're different types of bread, but one thing that they all have in common is this. They all eventually go bad. They all expire. This baguette is good as long as it's consumed within the time frame that it's supposed to be consumed in. But when I eat this, past its allocated time of life, if you will, what was good to me now becomes bad for me. And this bread has an expiration date, which is why when you go buy a loaf of bread from the grocery store, from Walmart or from Kroger or Target, wherever you do your Aldi, Lidl, wherever you do your grocery shopping, there's this expiration, and it says, best if used by. Now, some of y'all try to get around it, like, Pastor, I'm going to freeze this thing. Because here's what you're doing. Here's what you've acknowledged. I want to preserve the life of it because I recognize that it will eventually expire. And the thing that's common about this is that all earthly and natural bread goes bad at some point. So what originally was good can be bad if it's not eaten within the time frame that it's supposed to be eaten in. What does that have to do with this passage of scripture? It has everything to do with John chapter 6. Because here in John chapter 6, what you're seeing is Jesus, he's fresh off of feeding about 5,000 plus people. And the Bible says that it was 5,000 just men alone. And one of the things that you see in the scripture is as Jesus is feeding 5,000 people, he does it in this miraculous fashion where the Bible talks about how this young man, this boy, he brings his lunch and he has 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. And the disciples are like, hey, how are we going to feed all these people? We don't got enough. And I want to let you know something. Whenever you're functioning from a scarcity mentality, you will always see what you don't have. But when you function from a place of abundance, you will always see what you do have. If the disciples would have focused not on the lack of loaves that they had, but in the one who was there who created the loaves in the first place, they would have recognized, oh, we got more than enough. Why? Because we got him. But what Jesus does to help them understand this in a greater way. The Bible says that he feeds 5,000 plus people, and that was just men. More than likely, there were families there. And scholars have said that it was probably between 20,000 to 30,000 people there, possibly. And he feeds all these people. And here's what the scripture says. There was leftovers afterwards. Ain't that crazy, y'all? He took 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread, and he feeds 5,000 plus people, and there's 12 basketfuls. One account of this in Matthew talks about how there was 12 basketfuls of bread left over because he is not the God of just enough. He is the God of more than enough. He does exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask, think, or imagine. With Jesus, there's always leftovers. And so he feeds 5,000 people with these 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread in this miraculous fashion. The loaves begin to just be multiplied. The Bible says that he broke the bread and then he blessed the bread and then he gave the bread. Because whenever God's blessing is on something after it has been broken before him, it always multiplies. What is the principle that I think God wants us to see even with that? That whenever we submit what we have to God, it goes much further in his hands than it does in ours. And some of the reason, can I just help us? This ain't part of my sermon, it's not part of my notes, but I feel like God's calling me to say it. Some of the reason why we're not seeing increase or fruit in our life, in certain areas in our life, is because we got our hands on it and we haven't put it in his hands. Some of the frustration that many of us have in our lives is simply because you are holding on to something that he has invited you to give to him. So in your hands, 2 fish and 5 loaves, you're right, it's not enough to feed all these people. But when you put it in my hands, it multiplies. Question I want to ask you is, what is it right now that you have in your hands that you need to put in God's hands? Because when you put it in his hands, miracles can happen. So here in John chapter 6, this crowd, they're following Jesus after this incredible miracle of feeding 5,000 people with two fish and five loaves of bread. The people now, they're tracking him down. And when they do so, the Bible helps us to see that they're looking for Jesus to do another miraculous, extravagant, over-the-top type of miracle. Notice what the Bible says in verse 24. When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum. They're looking for Jesus. And when they found him, verse 25, on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Verse 26, notice what he says. Truly I tell you, Jesus said, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. He says, don't work for the food that perishes, but for the food that lasts for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal of approval on him. I love the fact that here Jesus says, the Father, God the Father, has set his seal of approval on him. What does that mean? It means that Jesus is him. Jesus is official. The Father set his seal on him. Matter of fact, God the Father, when Jesus came to earth and he started his earthly ministry, when Jesus was baptized, the Bible says there was a voice from heaven that said, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. His seal was on him. Jesus is that one. Jesus is the one, as we talked about last week, that we're searching for. Jesus is the one that we're ultimately longing for, whether we realize it or not. Jesus is him. He put his seal of approval on him. And the signs that Jesus does here was meant to point to something greater. So in other words, when Jesus fed the 5,000 people with two fish and five loaves, it was more than him filling stomachs. It was more than him just satisfying a need. It was meant to point to him as the source. But they missed it because they were hungry for something else. They were hungry for that which was temporary instead of that which was eternal, which is why Jesus says, don't just live your life looking for that which can't fill you, that which perishes, but for the food that lasts for eternal life. Let me ask this a question. The things that you and I are longing for, are they temporary or are they long-lasting? Because the bread here was simply a sign to something and someone greater. It was meant to point that Jesus is him. He is the source. He is the Messiah. But that wasn't their focus. They had an appetite. But they had an appetite for all the wrong things. Let me say it like this. They had an appetite for what was only superficial. Let me break it down more. They were chasing signs and not substance. And they even asked Jesus to perform a sign similar to that in the Old Testament when God made bread rain from the sky to feed his people. And the people even say, after Jesus says, get this bread that fills and that satisfies, that lasts. And they say, give us this bread always, which points to something that I want us to lean into for these next few moments. It points to the fact that there is a hunger in their own lives that is not being fulfilled, which causes them to chase more. And before we cast shade and judgment on all these people, the question I want to ask us is today, I want to ask us this question today. What appetites are driving your life right now? What do you have a thirst and a hunger for? What are we spending our lives chasing and following? Because if we can be honest, I think we have a lot more in common with these people than we realize. That just as they were chasing superficial things, we ourselves find ourselves chasing superficial things. Maybe we're chasing the bread. That's a term in today's terminology for money. We ain't chasing Panera, we chasing the bag. Maybe we're chasing significance. Maybe we're chasing status. Maybe we're chasing approval. Maybe we're chasing success. And the question I'm going to ask you is this. I want you to think about this. I want you to write this down. Are we spending our lives chasing surface rather than chasing substance? Are we spending our lives chasing what is surface rather than what has substance? It's a question I ask myself all the time. What am I spending my time chasing? Am I chasing something that's going to fill me long term? Or am I chasing something that's just going to bring temporary satisfaction but leave me longing for more in the end? What am I living for? What am I chasing? And I think all of us need to examine our hearts and ask ourselves that question. All of us online need to ask ourselves this question. What am I spending my lives chasing? And here's one thing that's even more dangerous, family. You see it here in the text. Some people are only chasing after Jesus because of what they think they can get out of Jesus. Some people just want Jesus because of what he can do for them. Or as I like to say it, they're chasing his hand and not chasing his heart. That's what was happening here in this passage. And Jesus called them out on it. He says, the only reason y'all here is because of what y'all saw. And because of this food that happened. Let's not act like y'all here for some deep spiritual truth. He said, y'all here because your stomachs got filled and it felt good. And you want more of that bread. Sometimes we end up falling into this trap of the enemy of seeking God for what we can get. And so we treat God as an ATM. We treat God as a genie in a lamp. We pray and we come to God not for what he wants, but for what we want. So instead of saying, not my will, let yours be done, we reverse that and say, not yours, but let my will be done. I always say one of the key indicators that we'll be, and how we can examine where our hearts are with God is look at what you pray for. What consumes your prayer life? Is it, God, give me this, God, give me that. God, do this, God, do that. Do we really spend time praying? God, show me what your will is. I want my heart to look like yours. And that convicts all of us, myself included, because there's been plenty of times in my own life where I find myself praying prayers that have more to do with what I want than what God wants. And if we're not careful, we can spend our lives chasing things and chasing the superficial. And we'll say things like, give us this bread and I'm hungry. But here's the thing, all of us are hungry. We're all hungry spiritually. We're all hungry emotionally. We're all hungry relationally. All of us have this need of hunger. But the question is, where are we going to satisfy this need? What are we longing for? And what I love about this text, family, is that in spite of what we find ourselves chasing that leaves us longing for more, the scripture shows us here in John 6 that Jesus came from heaven to earth to provide for us everything that we need, which is why here in John 6, he says, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. I'm him. I am the bread of life. But before we get into this whole statement, I am the bread of life, I want us to look at the first two things he says, I am. Somebody say, I am. Why is that so significant? Because in the Old Testament, this name, I am, these words, I am, was actually the sacred name of God in the Old Testament. So when you go back to the book of Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, the Bible says that God replied to Moses, I am who I am. When Moses says, who shall I say sent me? Who shall I say gave me this message? God, I got to tell him that somebody sent me. Who am I supposed to tell that sent me? He says, tell him I am sent you. And I imagine like Moses, you know, he's probably sitting down there taking some notes. I am. That's it. I am that I am. I am that I am. Got anything else to add to that, Lord? No. It's enough. So, you want me to go tell Pharaoh and them and your people that I am sent me? Yep. No, you don't want to put last name on that, you know. you don't want to attach nothing to that. No, I am. It's enough. Why is that so significant? Because the phrase in the name I am is the covenant name of God, Yahweh. And this was revealed to Moses at the burning bush in Exodus 3:14, which is what we just read. But then when you jump over into Exodus chapter 16, verses 4 through 5, after God delivers the children of Israel from Egyptian captivity, he takes them into the wilderness. And the Bible says in Exodus chapter 16, verses 4 through 5, He says to Moses, he says, I am going to rain bread down from heaven. He says, I'm going to rain down bread from heaven. God tells Moses that he's going to bring bread from heaven for the Israelites to eat while they were in the wilderness. This bread in the Old Testament was what they call manna. And it came down from heaven and it sustained the Israelite, God's people in the Old Testament during their journey through the wilderness. And you may be asking yourself the question, Pastor Elmo, what does this have to do with John 6 when Jesus says, I am the bread of life? How does this connect with what he is saying here? Here's what he's saying. I am in the Old Testament is the same I am here now in the New Testament. I spoke to Moses through a burning bush back then. But now I've actually come down from heaven myself. In the Old Testament, I rained down bread from heaven. But now here in the New Testament, in your day and time, I'm going to be the bread and I'm going to bring it down from heaven to earth. Here's what he's saying. I am the provision that you need, and I'm also the provider that you need. That just as I was with Moses in the Old Testament, I am now here as I am again as the bread of life to provide for you in greater ways than you realize. Is I am all that there is to his name. In the Old Testament, he says, I am that I am. Pastor Edwin, why is that so significant? Because I like to look at it as breaking it down like this. I am is just simply the check, the blank check to satisfy whatever need that you have in your life. So if you need provision, he says, I am that. If you need healing, he says, I am that. If you need hope, he says, I am that. If you need a comforter, he says, I am that. If you need peace, he says, I am that. I am everything that you need. Whatever you need, just simply fill in the blank. And many of you all, if you look back over your life, you can see that there's been times in your life where you were in a great need and you called out to God and you cried out to God and you said, God, I need you to show up. But how you needed him to show up versus how your neighbor needed him to show up was completely different. But the one thing that y'all both have in common was that God was exactly to you and exactly to them exactly what you needed him to be. And I just want to know, is there anybody here in person and online that can say the great I am showed up when I needed him the most? The great I am met my need. The great I am healed my body. The great I am helped me when I was in my time of need. He is the great I am. Whatever I need, he is that. If I need safety, he is that. If I need hope, he is that. If I need healing, he is that. If I need peace, he is the Prince of Peace. If I need joy, he is what scripture calls the rose of Sharon. He is everything that I need. He is the provision, and he also is the provider. And Jesus is all in one. It's everything that I need. I like this because this is a theme that you see all throughout the book of John, because in John chapter 4, we talked about it last week, the Samaritan woman at the well. She came to get water. But she did not get the water that she came to get. She got something better. She got living water. Ain't that crazy? Then in John chapter 5, there's another situation involving water. And it's a guy who was paralyzed for 38 years. And the Bible says that he would go to a pool and camp out by a pool because there was a myth back then that if anybody jumped in the pool when it was stirred, that it would be healed. It wasn't truth. It was a myth. But oftentimes we believe myths as truths. And we still do that today. We believe everything we read on the internet. We believe everything that we hear people say. But the Bible says that the man who was paralyzed for 38 years, every time he tried to go to get there and to receive this quote-unquote healing from this pool, he would say to Jesus, somebody would jump in front of me. And Jesus asked him, do you want to get better? And he replied, Jesus, I don't got nobody to put me into the pool. I don't have anybody to put me in the water when it is stirred, supposedly. He says, that's the source of my healing. And I love it because remember in John 4, Jesus says that I will give you water. I am the living water in many ways is what he's saying. And here in John chapter 5, you got a guy that's trying to get to water. and he don't get healed unless he gets to the water, so he thinks. But Jesus is so good that instead of the brother thinking he got to get to water to be healed, Jesus, the living water, brings water to him. And he tells this brother, pick up your mat, and walk. And the Bible says that the brother, after 38 years of not being able to walk, after 38 years of having to be carried around and having to be used by people and having to be left aside by people, picks up his mat and starts to walk. What am I trying to help us to see? That God meets every single need that we have. He meets us where we are. He comes to where we are. He knows what we're dealing with. He's aware of what we're dealing with. He is our provision and he is our provider. And it's no different here with the bread. And the people here came to get more. But what Jesus has in mind is something much better. Why? Because God does exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. God is not concerned with doing things at a low level. He does things on a higher level. That's what he does. And I love it because I grew up in older church context, and it was something that I used to always hear some of the older saints say, that he'll be a lawyer in the courtroom. Come on, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. He'll be a doctor in the sick room. That he'll be my bridge over troubled water. What were they trying to help us understand? That he is everything that I need him to be. And I want to know, is there anybody here that can testify that Jesus has been everything that you have needed him to be in every season, in every year? He was what you needed in 2021. He was what you needed in 2022. And he will be what you need in 2023. He is the great I am. He is the one who provides for you. He is the one who meets your need. He is the great I am. Can we give God praise for a few moments right now, that God is the one who provides for us, that God is the one who meets our need. Come on, some of y'all got stories of how God set you free. You got stories of how God healed your body. You got stories of how God provided for you. Thank God that he was everything that we needed him to be. He meets our needs, y'all. He provides. And he doesn't just do it in ways that we expect. He does it in ways that we don't expect. Y'all, can I tell you that some of the greatest things that God has done for me was not to answer the prayers that I wanted him to answer the way I wanted him to? Can I tell you that some of the greatest blessings in my life have come because of closed doors? But we think it got to be an open door for God to bring us the way he wants us to be. Sometimes for God to bring us the way he wants us to be, he got to shut a door. He has to end a relationship. He's got to dry something up. And I love that because he is the great provider, which means he knows what we need. He knows what we need, not what we want. He knows what we need. He's aware of what we want, but he wants to get us what we need. He's the great provider. And here's what Jesus is saying. I am the bread of life. And when he says this, he's speaking metaphorically of how he has come to bring sustenance to our lives. Now, when I think about bread from a dietary standpoint, there's many things that bread is good for. It's good for heart health. It's good for helping to lower blood sugar. But what I've also realized about bread is some bread can cause allergic reactions. Some of y'all have been to Red Lobster and you ate some garlic and your whole face swelled up. Because you had it. So while there's bread that's good for some, that same bread may not be good for others. I'm here to let you know that the bread that Jesus gives, everybody can eat. It's for the gluten intolerant. It is for those who don't like it. It's for those who do like it. The bread that Jesus gives, everybody can eat that. Everybody say everybody. No matter who you are. And what does he mean by bread? What is he talking about? He's talking about eternal life. But when he talks about this bread, there's something that I want us to see here, a few principles I want us to see of how his bread adds value to our lives. Number one is this, that as he is our provider and he provides this bread for us, I want us to see this, that through his bread, Jesus provides, number one, salvation. He provides salvation. So when you look at verse 32, notice what Jesus says here. Truly, I tell you, Moses didn't give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life, everybody say life, to the world. Then they said, sir, give us this bread always. He says, I am the bread of life, Jesus told them. I am the bread of life. Why is this significant? Because Jesus says, for the bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Why is it so significant? Because in the Old Testament, God rained down manna or bread from heaven to give to the lives of people, to sustain them, to nourish them, to fill them. It was for their well-being. But Jesus now is saying, I have now come to offer myself as the bread of life. In other words, I have now come to bring life to your life. I have now come to bring nourishment for all who believe in me. Jesus came from eternity to earth, from heaven to earth. Do y'all know where Jesus was born? Not Nazareth. He grew up there. He was born in Bethlehem. Do you know what Bethlehem means in its original meaning? House of bread. Do you think it's a coincidence that the bread of heaven was born into a place that simply means house of bread? No. This was intentional by God, because God does exceedingly, abundantly above all that you can ask, think, or imagine. What is he trying to teach us? He's trying to teach us that just as my son was sent by me to bring bread to the house and to the world, my son also came to bring bread and bring life to you in the form of salvation. Jesus says he came to bring bread or to bring life to the whole world. This wasn't about physical bread. No, this is about spiritual soul satisfaction and bread to fill our souls. He says he came to bring life to the whole world. Who is the whole world? To lost people, to broken people, to people of all ages, to people of all colors, men, women, children. He came to bring life to all people, everybody. There's no cap on who he came to bring this bread to. This bread is for everybody. Notice what he says when you jump down to verses 47 through 51. I love what Jesus says here. He says this, truly I tell you, anyone who believes has eternal life. He says, I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that anyone may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. And if anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. What is he talking about here? He says, I came to offer my life as a sacrifice on the cross for the sins of the world, so that anyone who would receive me and believe in me, that they would receive this bread of life, this new life, this forgiveness of sin, this cleansing of sin. You will be saved. That any person who's in Christ is a new creature. The old is past and the new has come. Praise God that the bread of heaven came to give us salvation. So John 3:16, a scripture that many people know and just in common culture, says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting or eternal life. But when you jump down to verse 17, it says this, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And anyone who believes in him is not condemned, but anyone who does not believe is already condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the one and only son. And then when you jump over to Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says that the wages of sin is death, which means all of us have sinned. The Bible talks about in Romans 3 that we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have jacked up. All of us have messed up. All of us have lied. All of us have done things we're ashamed of. All of us have done things that we're not proud of. And all of us, according to Scripture, deserve to be eternally separated from God, not to experience his goodness, but to experience his judgment. But thanks be unto God that God saw our need and he sent the living bread to earth, so that when we eat that, we receive eternal life. But the gift of God, what is the gift? That good bread. Bring the bread down. That bread that never runs out. When I'm eating on Jesus, when I'm receiving Jesus, when I'm believing Jesus, I receive this eternal life. There's something powerful about that name. We just sang about it. That at the name of Jesus, darkness trembles. that at the name of Jesus, things have to change. Matter of fact, Peter says it like this in Acts 4, that this Jesus is the stone rejected by you builders, which has become the cornerstone. There, watch this, is salvation in no other name under heaven given to people by which we must be saved. There is something about the name of Jesus that when we begin to get in alignment with the name of Jesus, things in our lives begin to change. Y'all heard how Yolanda talked about when she was in a dark time in her life and she looked to this place and she looked at this person and it didn't help her. But when she called on the name of Jesus, things begin to change and darkness begins to shift. When you call on the name of Jesus, things gotta be different. Things can't be the same. When Jesus pulls up, everything changes. Peter says, there's no other name but in under heaven by which we must be saved. Buddha can't save you. Muhammad can't save you. I'm going to get into that in the next few weeks. None of these other false religions can save you. No shade, it's just a fact. No other thing under heaven can save you other than the name of Jesus. That type of bread goes bad, but the bread of Jesus never goes bad. It looked good, but you know what? I've seen good plastic fake bread too. It ain't real. So for some people, money, that bread is their God. That can't save you. Money can't save you when you're on a sick bed. Your job that you slave over can't help you in your time of need. There is only one who can do something about the predicament and the problems and the plights and the conditions that we find ourselves in, and his name is Jesus. At his name, things have to change. At his name, chains are broken. At his name, blinded eyes are open. At his name, bread can come down from heaven. At his name, he makes ways out of no way. At his name, he begins to open up doors that no person can close. At his name, he can dry up cancer in your body. At his name, he can send a check in the mail and he can put a deposit in your bank account. Then you're trying to figure out where it came from. At his name, things change. Jesus says, my name, my bread, I bring salvation. Save your soul. I want you to write this down, that Jesus came to us on earth so that we can be with him in heaven. He came from heaven to earth so that the people of earth can be with him in heaven. That's crazy. That's phenomenal. I love the fact that Jesus saw our need. We couldn't get to him, so he came to us. Y'all, that's incredible. And he says, I bring salvation with my name. But not only does he bring salvation, he also provides, I want you to write this down, satisfaction. Everybody say satisfaction. Verse 35, he says this, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. And not only does he say, I'm the bread of life, he says, no one who comes to me will ever be hungry, and no one who believes in me will ever be thirsty again. Now, he isn't talking about physical food right now. Even the 5,000 people that he just fed would get hungry again. It don't matter how much bread from Panera you eat, and how much bread from Olive Garden you eat, how much red lobster cheddar bay biscuits you eat, how many of them Hawaiian Thanksgiving rolls that grandmama and auntie cook you eat, you're going to get hungry again. Physically. But Jesus says, the bread that I want to give you is meant to satisfy your soul spiritually. But oftentimes, here's what happens. Because we can't discern the difference between the physical and the spiritual, what happens is we end up trying to satisfy spiritual needs through physical means. So our souls are crying for satisfaction, but how we try to fill it is with this, and how we try to fill it is with that. We try to fill it with more money. We try to fill it with sex. We try to fill it with lies. We try to fill it with a job. We try to fill it with accomplishments. We try to fill it with degrees, and we try to fill it with status. And I'm not saying that some of those things aren't bad, but what I'm trying to help you understand is those things cannot satisfy you at the level of your soul cravings that you have. Only Jesus can do that. And the key to satisfaction is not something tangible. The key to satisfaction is something in someone's spiritual. More money won't do it. Better job won't do it. Better grades won't do it. There's nothing wrong with those things in and of themselves. But the problem is when we're expecting those things to do for us, but only Jesus can. My relationship can't do that. Only Jesus can. And I love the fact that Jesus talks about this thing called bread here. Because one of the physical effects of eating bread is that it does fill you. I remember a few weeks ago I had a stomach flu, and it messed me up. And if you know anything about a stomach bug, there's not too many things that will bring you to your knees than a stomach virus. Literally bring you to your knees. And I remember I didn't want to eat anything. I couldn't hold anything down. And I remember I felt like I lost like 5 pounds in a day. Just felt weak. And I didn't eat anything. Couldn't hold anything down. But the Ariel had told me, she was like, you got to get something in your stomach. And so then she talked about this thing called the BRAT diet. That when you have the stomach flu, this is what doctors recommend. BRAT is an acronym short for bananas, rice, applesauce, toast. So I was cool with the bananas. Rice, I was like, I don't know about that. Applesauce, all right, cool. Toast, nah. I feel like if I eat this bread, it's going to manifest itself. One of the things that I learned about why it's important to eat bread when you're sick is because it has a way of absorbing what's going on the inside of you, but also filling you to renew your strength. What am I trying to draw the correlation to? That in Jesus, He absorbs our sin, He absorbs our struggle, He absorbs our shame, but then He also fills us, and He satisfies us, and He nourishes us, and He grows us. So here's what Psalm 91 says, I will satisfy Him with a long life and show Him my salvation. I will satisfy Him. That's what God says in the Old Testament. I will satisfy. Any person who trusts in me, I'll satisfy him. You won't find satisfaction in any other place. There was a song back in the day, can't get no satisfaction. There's some truth to that. Because as long as I'm looking to earthly things to satisfy a spiritual need, I will always be hungry. But Jesus, the bread of life, says, I come that you will be satisfied. But here's the third thing I want to give us, and then we'll be done. Not just salvation, not just satisfaction, but I love this point right here. Security. So notice what Jesus says in John 6, verse 37. It says these words. Or verse 36, he says, but as I told you, you've seen me, and yet you do not believe. Everyone the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes, I will never cast out. Then when you jump down to verse 39, this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose none of those he has given me, but should raise them up on the last day. And then when you jump over to verse 56, in the same chapter, John chapter 6, he says, the one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. What is Jesus trying to help us understand? When you come to me, family, you're anchored. You're secure. You're grounded. You don't have to worry about being uprooted. When you come to me and when you get a taste of me, when you have me enter into your life, you're secure in me. You got a foundation in me, which is why earlier in Matthew chapter 7, he says, when you build your life, don't build it on the things of this world. Build it on me, my word. Build it on the truth of who I am, because that's the equivalent of not building on the sand, but instead building on the rock, that even when the storms come, and even when the winds blow, and even when life gets hard, and even when you get a bad report, and even when people turn their back on you, and even when you hit a hard month, you got a good foundation. You are secure. You are grounded. He says, you're secure. He says, my bread doesn't just satisfy, it also secures. So the eternal life that Jesus is talking about, I want us to understand something, that it doesn't begin when we die physically. It begins when we believe in him instantly. Because a lot of times we'll think eternal life begins when I die. No, eternal life begins the minute you believe. So in other words, when I say yes to Jesus, and for some of us who might be here today, you've never given your life to Jesus. You've come to church, but you haven't come to Christ. But when you come to Christ, you receive this gift, this bread of life, this eternal life. And when you receive it, it can't be snatched away, which is why Jesus says in John 10 that whoever is in my hand, nobody can pluck them out. You're secure. You're good. Somebody say, I'm good. Which means, why is this so important? Because it means that he not only satisfies our lives, he secures our lives. It means that he not only fills our lives, he fortifies our lives. He grounds our lives. Here's what Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 says. In him, who is him? Jesus. We've already said it. He's him. In him, you also were sealed. Ain't that crazy? Because remember earlier in John chapter 6, what did it say? That the Father had placed his what on him? His seal on him. Which means that the same seal that's on Jesus, when you are in him, is now on you. I thought some of y'all would get excited about that. Because here's what this means. That what is true of Jesus now becomes true of you. Because when you are in him and he is in you, your life is now hidden with Christ and God. So it says this, in him you were also sealed with the promised Holy Spirit when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And when you believe, the Holy Spirit, watch this, is the down payment of our inheritance. And if you know anything about a down payment, it means that the rest is going to be paid soon. Until the redemption of the possession to the praise of his glory. In other words, y'all, when you say yes to Christ and he enters your life, he ain't leaving. You secure in him. Which is why he says, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. When you receive him, it means that there's nothing that can sever that connection. So here's what Paul says in Romans chapter 8. I love this, one of my favorite scriptures. He says, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can affliction or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? And then you jump down to verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In other words, Paul is saying this. There is nothing that can separate you from Jesus when you are in Jesus and when Jesus is in you. So why is this good news? It means this, so because I'm secure in Christ, it means that I am in him, and more importantly, he is in me. It means that it changes how I live my life now. So because I'm secure in him, it means I don't have to worry because my God will meet all of my needs. Because I'm secure in him, I don't have to stress because he is the Prince of Peace. When I am in him, it means that I don't have to feel alone because I got a God who will never leave me nor forsake me. When I'm feeling stressed and when I'm feeling overwhelmed and when I'm feeling filled with grief, I got a God who is a comforter, who will comfort me in my pain. I don't have to worry about my kids. Why? Because I know the God who has the future. I don't have to worry about my future. Why? Because my God has a plan. And I'm just here to let us know that because you are in Christ, and when Christ is in you, you are secure, which means you don't got to walk through life worrying any longer. You don't have to live life stressed out any longer. You are in Christ. He is in you, and you are in him, and you are secure. Which means it changes how I live. So even if I face a problem tomorrow, I'm not going to panic. I'm going to pray and I'm going to praise and I'm going to pause and I'm going to give it to God because my God will meet all of my needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. I'm grounded in him. I'm secure in him. Which means it changes how I look at everything. I was talking with one of our leaders, John, in the back right before service. I asked him how his week was going, and he was telling me about some of the things that were going on. But one of the things that he said was, he said, Pastor, and you know, in perspective, all that stuff is little. Why is it little, John? Because I got a big God. And as I like to say, all this stuff that we oftentimes stress about, that's easy work for him. Stressed out about a bill, easy work. Stress out about people leaving your life, easy work. If they left you, maybe they weren't supposed to be with you. Stress about what's going to happen this week, easy work. Well, Pastor, how can you say that's easy? That's a little insensitive. No, it is not, because we got a God that got up out of the grave on the third day. And if he can beat death, and if he can get up out of the grave on the third day, what is a light bill? And what is a medical diagnosis? And what is stress? And what is all these things going on? If I got Jesus, I'm good. It's easy work for him. This light work. And I want to get you to the place where you have an abundant mentality, where you recognize that in him you're secure. Here's what Psalm 91 says. I'm going to close with this. Because he has set his heart on me, talking about the person who trusts in him, I will deliver him. I will protect him. Why? Because he knows my name. What am I trying to help you understand? Jesus, the bread of life, says, when you get me, I got you. I not only save you and satisfy you, I secure you. You're in me. And the invitation that Jesus is extending to all of us today is that we experience his salvation, his satisfaction, and his security, that we receive the bread that he gives. And I love this, that in the midst of what Jesus offered, here's what's crazy, y'all. In the midst of this bread that Jesus offered and made available, there were some people who rejected it. I don't have time to walk through all of John 6, but I want to show you something in John 6, verse 66. It says, from that moment, many of his disciples turned back and no longer accompanied him. Because he was saying, I want you to come trust in me. I'm the source. Eat of my flesh, drink of my blood. He wasn't talking about cannibalism. He was talking about putting their faith in him. It was also a foreshadow to what he would talk about when he would be with his disciples. Talking about bread and the wine representing his body and his blood being offered on the cross. He says, when you come to me, when you devote your life to me, when you trust in me, you experience joy and satisfaction, but you got to turn to me. And some of those who were there that day were like, nah, that's not what we came for. We want signs, miracles, and wonders. But they didn't realize that Jesus was the sign, he was the miracle, and he is the wonder. He is the wonder bread before wonder bread. They didn't see it. And many turned away from him. Many rejected him because of this. Now I want you to notice what Jesus says to his 12 disciples who were remaining with him in the next verse, in verse 67. So Jesus said to the 12, you don't want to go away too, do you? Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom will we go? You have the words of eternal life. You know what Peter's saying? Where are we going to go to get this bread? We can't go nowhere else. We staying here. Now, Peter got a lot of things wrong in his time, but he got this right. Peter might have cussed you out with a quickness. Cussed you and cut you at the same time. That's what he did. Some of y'all got that Peter anointing on your life. He's trying to free you. Cussed and cut. My God. But he got that right. He trusted in Jesus. And why am I reading that? Why am I saying that? Because Jesus gives us two options. Receive his bread or reject his bread. Can I tell you this? You reject his bread, you will continue to starve. You will continue to go through life hungry. And many of you are here today, maybe watching online, you're starving. Your soul is starving. You're starving for acceptance. You're starving for fulfillment. You're starving for satisfaction. You're starving for joy. And you've tried to find it in all these other places and all these other people, and you haven't found it yet. I'm here to let you know all that you're looking for is found in Jesus. The bread of life. You're not going to find it nowhere else. You're not going to find it in accolades. You're not going to find it in accomplishments. All those things are good, but they can't fill you and satisfy you. Only Jesus can. They can't save you from your sin. Only Jesus can. They can't bring security to your life. Only Jesus can. And he says, you can receive my bread, receive me, or you can reject me. And the question that we got to ask ourselves today is, what am I going to do with this bread? This bread that's free. In order to get that bread from Olive Garden, I got to pay for that. Somebody had to pay for that bread for me to eat. Jesus says, well, you know what? I've already paid the bill. All you got to do is just show up and bring your appetite. Eat this bread. Receive this bread. I want to ask us to stand to our feet in this place. Jesus brought you here today as a form of what I called earlier a breadcrumb. Follow the breadcrumbs to the one who is the bread. Old story, Hansel and Gretel had to follow breadcrumbs to get what they were looking for. Jesus has left breadcrumbs for us to come to him. Jesus came to save you, to satisfy you, to secure you. And the bread of this world, it will go bad, but the bread of heaven never does. And I believe that the reason why people have sick lives is because they have eaten stale bread. The reason why marriages are sick is because we're eating bad bread. The reason why lives are empty is because we're eating bad bread. The reason why we're frustrated right now, maybe with the condition of our life, as a young person, as an older person, whatever it is, maybe we've been eating the wrong bread. But Jesus says, this bread that I give, it never goes bad. It's free and available. Get as much as you want. It is bottomless. It is endless. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here this morning, you're saying, Pastor Edwin, I want this bread of life. I want to receive Jesus. Some of you are here today. As I mentioned earlier, you've come to church, but you've never come to Christ. Jesus says, any person who comes to me will receive this bread, receive this life. Some of you are here today. You've never come to Jesus. You've never said yes to him. You've never given him your life. You've never put your faith and trust in him. Today is the day for that to happen. Today is the day when you can say yes to Jesus. And if you're here today and you're saying, I want to give my life to Christ. I want to come to Christ because he first came to me. I want to say yes to him. I want to believe in him to receive this gift of life. If this is you, on a count of three, by heads bowed and eyes closed, I just want you to raise your hand just where you are. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to have you stand out. I'm not going to have you say anything. Come to the front. None of that. I just want to see your honest confession. If you're here today and you're saying, I want to receive Jesus as my Lord, as my Savior. I want to give him my life. On a count of three, just shoot up your hand. One, two, three. That's you. Amen. Amen. Bless God. Bless God. Amen. If you raise your hand in person or online, I'm going to lead you in a prayer of faith of coming to Jesus. I want you to say these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you rose back to life to give me new life and life more abundantly. Jesus be my Lord. Jesus be my Savior. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for satisfying me. Thank you for securing me. In your name I pray. And every person said amen.